Luke chapter 2, and we return once again to that verse 46 as we consider Christ in the midst as he was there in the temple in Jerusalem. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him, that is Mary and Joseph, found him in the midst, sitting in the midst of the found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Very quickly, let me go over what we considered last Sabbath morning. We dealt primarily with the discovery of Christ in the temple. We noticed, first of all, his place. Where did Mary and Joseph discover the Lord after 4 days? Well, after those 3 days, they had gone a day's journey, suddenly realized he wasn't in their company, as they supposed him to be. They spent 3 days searching for him and finding him then, where? Sitting in the midst of the temple. They went there to find Christ in the temple. As we pointed out, when we go to the Lord's house and to our temple, to the Lord's house here, we go there seeking Christ. We want to find Christ in his temple. We want to find him here in his house. And we want to see him always in the midst. Not only do we have his place, we notice his patience. For Mary and Joseph had been without Christ for 4 days. They had left him in the temple. When they came back 4 days later, where did they find him? They found him in the temple. Reminding ourselves, this was a 4-year-old or a 12-year-old boy. Many another 12-year-old would not have been found in the same place his parents left him after 4 days. But Christ was there, patiently waiting for them to return. And just as any has gone away from the Lord patiently waits for their return. We noticed also his posture. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. He was not idling away his time or getting into mischief, as we might expect 12-year-old boys to do. No, he was sitting. He had reverence for the Lord's house. He had reverence for the temple. And of course, as a 12-year-old, Christ knew that the eyes of his heavenly Father would be upon him. We pointed out in the references that we gave last week that children are accountable to God as well as adults. 2 Chronicles 24, verses 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles 33, verses 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles 34, 1 and 2. We know that they're young boys, 7 and 12. The Lord spoke of them in his word and said, they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. They did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord took note of the behavior and the lives of children. That's something for us always to remember. And we remember David, who was a young man of 17. 1 Samuel 18, verse 14, we read, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. We noted also his prominence. Here is Christ. Where do we find him? We find him in the midst. That is, in the place of prominence. The doctors or the teachers of the law had permitted him to come and sit in their midst. That was most unusual. And so there is Christ, and he's in the midst of the doctors of the law. And I thought of how Christ sitting in the midst of the doctors of the law as they taught the law. The law, of course, spoke and speaks about Christ. And there were those doctors teaching the law, and they didn't know that the one of whom the law spoke about, namely Christ, was actually sitting there in their midst. He was in the midst of the teachers of the law. And surely when we go to the Lord's house, that's what we want, is it not? That Christ is always in the midst of the teaching. And when the Word of God is opened, and the Word of God is taught, and the great truths and the doctrines are taught from the Scriptures, Christ is to be in the midst, as he was in the midst of the temple. So he was in the midst of the teaching, and he was in the midst of the teachers. That's where Christ must always be. In our places of worship. That's where Mary and Joseph found him. We noted then not only the discovery of Christ in the temple. We just began last Lord's Day morning to consider the discourses with Christ in the temple. It is evident that this 12-year-old Christ discoursed with those teachers of the law. We know that from the verse 6, and it came to pass, or 46, and it came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. There we have Christ and his company. Those doctors of the law permitted the 12-year-old Christ to sit in their company and be part of their company and take that prominent place of being in the midst. If you like, the Lord for that period of time was a student of those doctors. But then later in life, the Lord was the one who did the teaching. And while those doctors of the law felt they were teaching Christ, those same doctors, not many years later, they became the students, and Christ was the teacher. And the point that we made from that was that after hearing the word from the day that we were saved, are we then able to be teachers? Are we able to teach others? We know of how Paul hoped for the same amongst the Hebrew believers and how disappointed he was in Hebrews 5 verse 12 that after they had heard him preach and had been taught by him, he expected them to have progressed, to have matured, and to have gained enough knowledge to be able to teach others. And he was disappointed because he had to tell them, you need to be taught again. You need to be taught the first principles. You need to be taught and instructed in the ABC of the gospel. And how Paul must have been disappointed. He said, when you ought to have been able to cope with the strong meat of the word, you're still on the milk of the word. You're still on the milk. You still have a feeding bottle in your hand. You haven't progressed to the strong meat of the word. It is needful that one teach you again. And surely, being saved for X number of years, we want to learn. And I trust that we have learned to the extent that we are able to teach others. So we have Christ and his company. We see now Christ and his conduct. When the 12-year-old Christ sat in the midst of the doctors, we see how he conducted himself. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. Here, this is how he conducted himself. Hearing them and asking them questions. So regarding his conduct, we see first of all that Christ was a listener. Christ was a listener. That he was sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them. He was a listener. He was listening to what they had to say. Remember, they were dealing with the law. They were dealing with the Old Testament scriptures. And there is this 12-year-old Christ. And he's sitting there listening. That's a good example for us to follow. Upon going to God's house, what is it to do? Yes, to worship. But the central part of our worship is the preaching of the word. And when we go to the house of the Lord, it is to hear the word, it is to listen to the word. What did the Lord say to each of the churches in Asia? There in the book of the Revelation, the word of the Lord that came to those churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, it wasn't John who said that. He was delivering the Lord's word. And the Lord said, the Lord himself said to those churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear. So all of those churches were exhorted, indeed commanded, by the Lord to give ear to the word of God. Let us be part of that company that is described for us as a common people. Remember what was said about the common people? The common people heard him gladly. The word gladly is the same word that we looked at last week with regard to Herod. You remember how Herod heard John the Baptist? Says he heard him gladly. Same word. The common people heard Christ gladly, just as Herod heard John the Baptist preach and heard him gladly. The word gladly, you may recall, means to hear with relish. To hear the word with relish. To relish the word. I remember in our home congregation, we call it our home congregation, where we were saved in Tandragee. There was a man there, and a dear soul. And he would usually sit up at the front with his wife and children. And if you looked across at him, he was sitting there, and he would never take his eyes off the preacher. And whether he knew it or not, he sat with his mouth wide open. It was quite amusing to watch him. But when I think of someone relishing the word, I think of that dear brother. He relished the word. He just drank it all in. From the moment the book was opened till the final amen was pronounced and the benediction, this dear brother, Kenny, you called him, just drank in the word. He relished it. The common people heard him gladly. The common people heard him with relish. That's how we are to give an ear to the word. Just to relish the word. Just to come and say, I'm glad I'm going to the Lord's house today to hear the word. Never mind who's in the pulpit. I'm going to hear the word. We know the man is going to open the book and he's going to preach and he's going to give us a word from the Lord. Remember what the Lord told the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So there once again, the Lord is placing emphasis upon hearing his word. You recall in Acts chapter 10, the man called Cornelius. Now at this time, Cornelius wasn't a converted man. But Cornelius wanted to hear the word. Not only did he want to hear the word, but he wanted others to hear the word too. And he went out and he gathered a group of people and he brought them into his house and he sent for Peter to come and to give the word. And we read in Acts chapter 10, and there in verse 33, immediately therefore I sent to thee, Cornelius, to Peter, and thou hast well done that thou art come. You can see there, here's Cornelius. He's delighted that Peter came. He's delighted. And thou hast well done. Well done, Peter. He's thanking him for coming. Now therefore, are we all here present before God? What to do? To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We're gathered here, Peter. I thank you for coming. I'm delighted you're here. And we're all here. And we want to hear the word of God. All things that are commanded thee of God. Herod, as we have already emphasized, was an ungodly, unholy, wretched individual. But at that time, when he heard the preaching of John, he relished it. He heard him gladly, who heard it with relish. And here's Cornelius. He's not a converted man. But we have just read how he was overjoyed that Peter had come to his house. And he says to Peter, all right, give us now the word. Now, if we have unconverted men indicating how much they want to hear the word, then we, as converted people, as believers, as Christians, ought to have even a greater desire and a greater relish for the word. Surely, surely, that's the way it ought to be. Consider also, was it possible that while the Lord Jesus was there in the temple for 4 days before Mary and Joseph found him again, was it possible that as they had come back to the temple and found him sitting in the midst of the doctors, had he been there for 4 days? Sitting there in the midst of the doctors, now we know for sure he would not have been running around the temple. We know that. We know that in John 2 he referred to the temple as his Father's house. He would treat his Father's house with reverence. So we know he wasn't doing anything wrong in the temple. He himself is the Word. And was it possible that the dear Savior was there with those doctors, sitting in their midst as a listener? Was he there for the 4 days listening to the word? Of course, he would have had to sleep at night and so forth. We know all that. But in the major part of those 4 days, was Christ there sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them? I know some places. And if the preacher were to preach more than 25 minutes, people would become restless and they would complain afterwards. I know that. And I know those places. Do they relish the word? Do they have a hunger for the word? Here's the Savior, and he's only 12. Was he there for those 4 days? I believe he was. Listening to the teachers of the law. I don't mean for someone to ramble on, not really saying anything. But when it comes to the preaching of the word, the expounding of God's truth, we ought to be like that man we referred to who just was drinking in the word. In Nehemiah chapter 8, and we read in verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. Isn't that interesting? That the congregation came together at the water gate. All the gates and the walls around Jerusalem are given names. Here's the water gate. Water is a type of the word. They come and be washed in the water of the word. So they gathered together before the water gate, And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book. Here they are. They asked for the word. They spake unto Ezra, bring the book. We want to hear the word. To bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law. And once again, think of it, they were hearing about Christ. When Ezra brought the law of Moses, and the law of Moses, the Lord said, these are they which testify of me. They were hearing about Christ. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. That's a reference to children. Upon the first day of the seventh month, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Morning was 6 a.m. Until midday, 6 hours later. From the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. What were they doing? For 6 hours, they were listening. You look down at verse 8. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Such was the crowd of people gathered together in the street before the water gate that they had men, their names are given to us there in verse 7, and they were strategically placed throughout the congregation, and as Ezra read, those men would relay what he had just read and then expound the word, teach the word to the people, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. There they were, listening to the word for 6 hours. They obviously relished the word. They received the word with gladness. They actually asked Ezra, give us the book. Bring the word. Oh, that God would kindle in our hearts and souls a greater love for the word of God. The fact, turning to Luke 2, the fact that the Lord Jesus was sitting there in the midst of the doctors and possibly for 4 days, listening, that reminds us that Christ is a good listener. And my, aren't we thankful that the Lord is a good listener. We'll be dealing with that this evening. Go and tell Jesus. We're thankful the Savior's a good listener because we often go to him and unburden our hearts and we praise the Lord. He's a good listener. I often think in that regard to the Emmaus disciples. And the Savior himself drew near and went with them. And they asked them why they were sad. And they couldn't understand. Have you not heard? And off they went telling the Lord all that had taken place in Jerusalem. And the Lord didn't interrupt them until they'd finished. In other words, as they walked and they talked, he listened. And then it was time for them to listen. We're thankful we have such an high priest who's ready to listen. Christ was not only a listener, Christ was also a learner. For we are told that he was sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He did the hearing first. Then he asked the questions. How do we learn? Well, we listen first. Then, to increase our knowledge, if necessary, in the classroom, we ask questions. But Christ, being who he is, God manifest in flesh, I doubt that he asked those questions to increase his own knowledge and wisdom. What do I mean? Perhaps he asked those questions to get the doctors to find out something about themselves. Because isn't that what the Lord does with us? We go up to the Lord's house and we sit under the preaching of the Word. And as the Word is preached, the Lord asks us questions. He challenges us. He asks us questions about ourselves. Why? That we might learn something about ourselves. That we may discover things about ourselves. Let me give you an illustration. Turn, please, to Mark chapter 8. Here's the Lord asking his disciples questions. And he did it purposely, that those disciples might find out some truths about themselves. He wasn't asking them questions that he might learn. He was asking them questions that they might learn. And learn about themselves. And indeed learn about the Lord. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. What does that mean? It means simply the disciples had forgotten to bring bread and they were all worried and they were all concerned about it. What are we going to do? Go down to verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? There's the first question. That would give them something to think about. Why reason ye that ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Second question. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Third question. Having eyes, see ye not? Fourth question. Having ears, hear ye not? Fifth question. And do ye not remember? Another question. When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? Another question. They said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? There's another question. They said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? He asked them 9 questions. And what did those questions reveal about the disciples? It revealed their lack of faith and trust in Christ. That's what it revealed. They were concerned that they had only brought one loaf with them, and yet the Lord reminds them about the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. In other words, he's saying to them, what are you worried about? If I fed 5,000 and fed 4,000, can I not feed you 12? He asked them questions, and in asking them questions, they found out something about themselves. When the word is preached, and the Lord challenges us, and the word of the Lord questions us about our Christian life and different aspects of our Christian life, let us not turn it to one side. Let us face the question and let us examine ourselves, because the Lord is endeavoring to teach us about ourselves. That's why he asks the questions. Notice not only Christ and his company and Christ and his conduct, we have Christ and his captives. The 12-year-old Christ held all who saw him and heard him in the temple. He held them all as captives. In other words, they were captivated by Christ. I want to say amen, don't you? They were captivated by Christ and his word. For verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. They were astonished. They were captivated. The same word is used in Mark 5. For there in Mark 5 and verse 42, the Lord has just raised up Jairus' daughter from the dead. And verse 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and that interesting, a 12-year-old again. And they were astonished. It's the same word. With great astonishment. The word literally translated means to be put out of oneself. To be put out of oneself. In other words, seeing a dead child raised up to life. Let us put ourselves in the position of those who witnessed that. Maybe some might even faint at seeing the dead live. Astonished, I think maybe to describe our reaction to it would be an understatement. But the people saw a dead child raised to life and they were astonished with great astonishment. It's the same word that's used here regarding those who heard Christ. They were completely astonished. In other words, they could hardly take it in. Like those in the house of Jairus, they could hardly take it in. So those who heard the word that day and heard the Savior in the temple, they could hardly take it in. and we go to the Lord's house on the Sabbath day, don't we want to hear him too? All they that heard him were astonished. When we hear the word about Christ, may the Lord give us that heart that we are astonished also. Not talking about the preacher, we're talking about the person of Christ. When we hear about Christ and what he has done, his love, his grace, his mercy, his sacrifice, his blood, his care, may we be astonished too. Let the word of the Lord, which we hear, hold us captive, that we may be astonished upon hearing from Christ and hearing about Christ. Is it not our prayer each Lord's Day when we enter God's house? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And when we do hear his voice speaking, will we not rejoice like John the Baptist when he heard the bridegroom's voice? He rejoiced greatly. Let us rejoice at the word. Think of the poor souls, the believers scattered throughout the world in different countries today, oppressed and imprisoned, and those who do not have a place of worship to go to. I told you about the video I saw of boxes of Bibles been brought and set down before people who didn't have a Bible. And they opened the box and they grabbed the Bible and they lifted it and they held it like that there. They held it to their heart. They had a copy of the scriptures that they didn't have before. They loved the word and were thankful for the word. So let it be our prayer. Master, speak. Thy servant heareth, waiting for thy gracious word, longing for thy voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? We have considered the discovery of Christ in the temple, the deliberations of with Christ in the temple, and finally, the departure with Christ from the temple. Having been to the temple for the Passover, they had found Christ, Mary and Joseph, and their 12-year-old, began to make their way back to Nazareth. But just before they embarked upon their journey, Mary had something to say to her son. Verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. That is Mary and Joseph. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. Here we have, first of all, her complaint. We are told how all that heard him reacted to him the same way. They were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now, before Mary uttered her complaint, we see how she and Joseph reacted to seeing him. we're told, and when they saw him, they were amazed. Here we have their amazement. Before we have her complaint, before she complained, she saw Christ along with Joseph, and the two were amazed. The word in the verse means exceedingly struck. They were almost dumbfounded by what they saw. The same word is found in Luke 9. You go to Luke 9, and there in verse 41. And Jesus answering said, O faithful and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son thither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed him, and the child healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one at all those things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples. And so they were amazed. It's the same word. Again, when the people saw what Christ did for this dear father's son and delivered him and how he delivered him, they were amazed. Now think of Mary and Joseph. They had been with Christ for 12 years. They had, in all probability, seen Christ every day for 12 years. And yet that day in the temple, they saw Christ in a way they had never seen him before. Even though they had seen him every day for 12 years, yet in the temple, what they saw amazed them. They saw Christ in a way they'd never seen him before. Like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he was transfigured before them, they saw Christ in a way they'd never seen him before. Like John on the Isle of Patmos, John saw Christ in a way that he had never seen Christ before. And each time we come and see Christ in the Word, may we be amazed. May we say in our hearts, I never saw Christ that way before. But what will be our amazement when we do see him face to face? We'll be amazed then, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Seeing him then will take our breath away. So we notice, first of all, their amazement. Then we have, regarding Mary, her asking, Son, how hast thou thus dealt with us? Mary spoke as though the 12-year-old had done something wrong. Of course, we know Christ never did anything wrong. Yet when we consider the circumstances, it was Mary and Joseph who had erred. And there they were, blaming the Lord. Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? They were the ones who had erred. But that again just emphasizes how so often when things don't turn out right in our lives, we blame the Lord. Lord, why did thou let this happen? we point the finger at the Lord, when really it's our own fault. We have the complaint, we have also the challenge. The Lord responded to his mother's complaint with a challenge in verse 49. Whenever he challenged her, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Once again, they have been with him for 12 years. Every day. Nobody knew Christ better than Mary and Joseph, because he dwelt in their home. No one knew him better. And yet, they didn't know him enough. The Lord said to them, wist ye not? How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not? Do you not know? I must be about my father's business. And they understood not. See, doesn't matter how many years we have known Christ, we'll never know him fully. There are many things about the Lord Jesus we still do not understand because of our limited knowledge of him. What did the Lord say to Philip? Have I been so long time with you, Philip? And hast thou not known me? He had been with the Lord for over 3 years, and the Lord had to say, Philip, you still don't know me. How we need the word then. How we need another reason why we need the word to learn more about Christ. And the last point, as well as the complaint and the challenge, we have the contemplation. For we read, as they left, went on their journey, we read in verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Just as she had done before. Same chapter, verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What do we do with the Lord's word when we hear it on the Sabbath day? What do we do with the word? Do we do as Mary did? Do we take the word to heart? Mary did. She took the word to heart. The Lord had said to her, wist ye not, Mary, that I must be about my father's business? Mary took that word to heart. And she pondered it. She went over it and over it and over it in her mind. Let us do the same with this word. Take the word to heart. It'll not do us any good if we don't take it to heart. We'll only have a head knowledge. It's the heart knowledge that changes the way we walk, the way we live. May we even today take the word to heart and ponder it throughout this day. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving Father, we bless thee for the word. Help us, Lord, to take it to heart today, to go over it in our minds, to ponder it, to think about what the Lord has said to us today, to think about how he has questioned us and challenged us. Have us, Lord, to take the word home with us, not just in our head, but in our hearts. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Take us, Lord, today to our homes in safety, and bless us throughout this day, pondering thy word. Lord, return us again tonight to learn more about thee, to ponder more about thee, thy person and thy word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.